We need to eat and drink with him. I just literally want to give you 4 points. Let's see if I can do what I've asked others to. I want to talk number one. As we go out of here, I want to talk about the twin tracks of life. Ding. I want to talk about those twin tracks. That's fine, the twin tracks of life. Because you see, one of the things we need to begin to realize is life is not a monorail. I used to have this idea of the Christian life. We're going on this single track, and if we're good Christians, it's getting brighter and brighter and better and happier. And if it isn't, then we're doing something really wrong. And if I'm really honest, my 2018 year was one of my hardest. It started with me being taken into an office by quite a severe-looking GP who thought I was being frivolous, and he said, "I know your husband has cancer, we just haven't found it yet, so you need to stop thinking it's all okay, because we will find it, but we just haven't found it yet." And I just said, "Yeah, but when we get the diagnosis, I'll be..." He said, "No, you need to prepare yourself." He said, "This is not a time for denial, Mrs. Hickson." And I was sitting there, and it was just like he had absolutely decided that Gordon had got stomach or bowel cancer, and he was going to find it. Well, the story went on, and they didn't find it. Everything was clear. They actually found parasites, which maybe with our lifestyle of where we live is more thing. And we'd had the medication, and we'd done that journey. But the next day, having been given the all clear for Gordon, I was then diagnosed with melanoma in my arm. And it was like I ended up in the JR, which is our hospital here in Oxford, given a little card, cancer patient. And something in me just went, "No, in Jesus' name." And I'm all clear, they've taken it all out, I'm just on examinations, it's thing. But it was just like every sort of level. David and I watched our dad really go through a very, very hard time. And the daddy I've known, who was vibrant, intelligent, articulate, incredible, now hardly able to hold a conversation and move into a home. My mum, who is just beside herself and becoming a bit overwhelmed, and all sorts of family stuff at all sorts of levels. Many, many things. But in the middle of the twin tracks of life, suddenly there were the wow things. And it's very easy to say, and almost fashionable to say, that's my anna horribilis, my bad year. But can I say, I don't believe we ever have a bad year. We have twin tracks. Every year we have the weep with those who weep and the rejoice with those who rejoice. And it's very easy to forget the wow moments. I remember one of our hardest times of life. As you know, I love my Gordon Dealey, and he's one of the nicest people I know. But we were going through a very critical time of a relationship breakdown, which was very poisonous, particularly towards Gordon. And, you know, usually it's me, and Gordon lovingly navigates people, and we get through, because I've caused a rumpus. But this time it was more Gordon, and I didn't have the skill set of Gordon to help everyone get through. But I was just like, it was one of the hardest things. But in that same season, my son David, brother David's son David, don't ask. Yes, he was named after you, of course. When I was in Africa, my son David fell in love with the most outstanding girl, Jenny, and they are incredible. And we had the most amazing wedding. And it was beyond my wildest dreams, because Nicola, our daughter, lives in Melbourne, Australia. So I lost my daughter the other side, and God gave me a daughter plus and Jenny. And so, sweet and sour. And I just feel that God wants you to understand, as we go into 2019, don't get, even in this friendship time, you know, Sue's wonderful picture, it's not fair. I learned a long time ago, God's not fair, but he is just. Any father who gives one kid 5 sweets, one kid 3 sweets, and one give 1 sweet, remember the story of the talents, is not fair, but he is just. You try doing that with your... Do you understand? Our understanding of fairness, everyone must have the same, They don't. Some people can sing and be intelligent and understand unspeakable things. And also be an accountant. We are impressed. I want you to log that. I feel it is very, very important for this season that we don't try living life on this hallelujah train, going glory to glory. God wants to teach us sweet and sour. He wants to teach us hope and despair. He wants to teach us goodness and difficulty. He wants to stretch us. Because how many of you can look at your life and say, I can see twin tracks? But I really want you to understand, don't just concentrate on the negative one. That's very British. We love to weep with those who weep. Cheer the underdog. Stick in there with the people where everything's going wrong. And then when someone comes and says, yay, I just sold my house and made an awesome profit, you go, yeah, whatever. No, come on, let's cheerlead the breakthroughs through. Say, that is amazing. I believe it's going to be very important for this time. We are living in that Charles Dickens time. It's the best of times and the worst of times. Next slide is the scripture, Romans 12, 15. Let's read it together. I will learn to rejoice with those who rejoice, while at the same time often weeping with those who weep. I just want that to sink in. Just say, Father, show me. Help me understand, because I believe it will upgrade our skill of living. Because so often the devil makes us feel really bad because something's gone wrong. No, I believe God spoke to me so clearly. The church needs to learn to work with 2 feet, twin tracks. Second thought, David picked it up. It's open and shut doors. It's a season for open and shut doors. In Revelation 1:8, God says, I am the God of Alpha and Omega. He's the God of startups and beginnings. He's the God of closings and endings. But I had such a sense for us today, because I haven't got time to do it all, but John 19, verse 30, when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And when he was hanging on the cross for you and I, he said what? It is... What did he say? I believe it was such a proclamation. It is finished. Boom. A door closed. My brother nearly had a heart attack. But there, I believe in the Spirit. And that's why I did it quite forcefully. I heard this, and I was interested that David's just heard doors closing. I heard like bang, bang, bang. You know those doors that just close, bang, and you know that's final. Whoa. I feel that God wants to shut some doors. He is the God of Alpha and Omega. And you see, when Jesus finished, he said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And I felt that God wants to upgrade us as prophetic praying people. Some battles are finished. Let them go. It is finished. Stop revisiting. Stop trying to battle with those doors. You know, Isaiah 22, 22. What God shuts, no man can open. What God opens, no man can shut. But I feel sometimes almost our sentiments, you know, well, I want it to all work out. And we try and open the door and sort it out. And there's it is finished in the spirit. You see, if I was looking at the ministry and life of Jesus as a church leader, I would not have said it is finished at 33 years old, when he had done a miracle only a few hours before of putting an ear back on the priest, which had been severely upset. He hadn't lost his miracle touch. He was signs and wonders man. He was the evangelist. He was the out there going. You know, you want to keep that man in ministry. It's finished. And with that, he gave up his spirit. I feel God wants us to start giving up some things that we're holding rights to, that we're trying to hold on, and it's causing us a lot of pain. And do you understand? Maybe there's relational stuff You know, we have a permission within our spirit. Did you know your spirit is so powerful that you can give things up? That is why it is not correct to say Jesus was murdered. Definition of murder, to violently take a life. No one took Jesus' life. Jesus gave it up before anyone could take it. And there are situations in your personal lives, situations in our church life, where we're violently fighting, and I just believe the Holy Spirit is saying, close that door. It is finished. Let it go. Why? Because there's new doors he wants to open. There's new opportunities. Number three, dare we put this word up? Brexit. The B word. I've been praying a lot about this, and those who've heard me speak over the time know that my political place, if you like, was originally Remain, until the Holy Spirit got hold of me and said, would you perhaps talk to me about it? Because I'd like to change your mind. And I'm like, well, God, I'm a prophet, and I believe that you've called us to be evangelistic and missional into Europe. I've always felt, and I would like that to be easy. And he said, well, I don't always make it easy. And he spoke to me very clearly, and this is what God said to me. You need to disconnect to realign or recalibrate, to reconnect, to carry the glory of God. And he said, you will vote leave. And I said, but God, won't that be a waste of time? Because at that time, the campaign was so obviously Remain. It looked. So I said, okay. And he said, well, watch and see. And I said, well, God, if we come out as leave, then what I have heard is what the reason you want this. And he said, yes, and you're to speak about it. And so I was shocked when we came out, Lee. But I have carried this thing. Father, you want to disconnect us, to realign, recalibrate us, to reconnect us with Europe, to carry the glory of God. I believe we've got to get beyond our political spirit. And this is a mummy talking, and someone who moves 47 nations, 47 cities in England last year, 19 nations. So I know this country pretty well. I travel in loads of different types of churches. And I would say that the political spirit has so gripped the eyes of the intercessors and the prophets, we can't speak. We've lost our voice because we're not looking at Jesus and Daddy's face. We're looking at everything else. And it's really important. We say, Daddy, what do you want the lion to say at this time? Let us say what you're saying. Let us do what you're doing. And we need to break the political spirit. It's really interesting. I happen to be in the House of Lords on the 12th of December when it was a confidence vote for Theresa May. It just happened that the committee meeting we had in the House of Lords was moved two doors down. And as a steward showed us to our committee room, he said, well, it'll be a bit noisy tonight. We're sorry. Because the 1922 committee is meeting there. So we were literally two doors down where the confidence vote was for Theresa May. And as I walked into the room, I walked in with another friend. And I said, and God had been speaking to us that it's time for the prophets to speak and time for them to rule. So I said, God, I want you to begin to underscore that you're going to give the prophets the right thing to say at the right time. Tell me the vote. And I turned, and Maria Fox was the other one. And I said, what is it, Maria? And we both turned it over, and we both, 200, 200. So we showed it to the Lord that we were with, and he sort of put his head. And, well, of course, when the vote came through, he said, that's it, 200 dead? And I said, 200 dead. And the vote was 200. What that did for me was it gave me confidence that God is going to begin to speak to the prophets. And here we were in the House of Lords, two doors down. Do you want? And I just want to break the fear. Break the fear of the media. Break the fear of what's being said. Get out of earth. Get into heaven. Because I absolutely believe God's got a plan. I was in North Devon last week in the North Devon House of Prayer with Jim Ware. And It's a little bit what David was talking about. I was just walking and praying, and I'm going to use my brother. And as I was walking praying, I just felt the strong hand come right into my back here. I thought it was Gordon come to pray with me with his hand in my. I turned around, no one was there. I just felt this hand. And I just said, God, what is that? And he said, Rachel, I've got this. I heard it. I just began to sob in the prayer room. I felt his hand so deeply imprinted into me because I've been carrying this nation. So, God, don't let us lose the purpose that you have. And I just felt his hand going, shh, don't worry, Rachel. I've got this. The nations are in the balance. Don't I uphold all things with my word? And he began to rehearse all the scripture. Every nation, for the government is upon my shoulders. Isaiah 40, verse 15. The nations are as a balance. They're like dust. But who am I? My voice. I want you to feel that heavy hand of God. I've got this. Let it break every fear. Thank you. Behold, the nations are a drop in a bucket. But God's got this. And with that, he began to say, and if I can give you one word that you need to begin to prophesy to people, it was this word, Luke 12, 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your daddy has been pleased to give you the United Kingdom and his kingdom. Our daddy in heaven is good at holding kingdoms. And it was funny, again, it's what David's talking about. Maybe you've had these experiences. You suddenly look at the Bible and you think, how did you sneak that in there? And I honestly read it as United Kingdom. I kept thinking, what have I done? But it was like I just felt the Holy Spirit wanting to play with me. Don't be afraid, little flock. This is the time for the 23rd Psalm. He is a good shepherd. Yes, in and out, in and out. Isn't that what it says, John 10? Yeah. He leads us in and out of good pasture. Come on, Jesus, you led us in, now lead us out. Help us. Help the government, but help the church. Help us be in the right place. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your daddy in heaven. He's so delighted, please, to give you a kingdom. So just put your hand to heaven for 2 minutes and just pray. Just pray for God to release you from every political spirit. Just ask him to give you insight, wisdom, and understanding for this time. Just let the spirit of prayer come upon you. God, expand my mind, my thinking. Take away everything that clutters me. God, I pray you'd help us declutter. God, to reset, recalibrate, we have to move out everything that shouldn't be there. Declutter us in Jesus' name. Help us hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Break every fear, anxiety in Jesus' name. Just come upon us. Be the good shepherd. I pray right now, everyone in this room would feel that hand in their back. I've got this. And I pray, Father, that just as David was praying, I pray, give us a new language and fluency and articulation. Lord, when we talk to people, help us articulate a language that breaks fear, breaks chains, gives different perspectives, shows a greater picture. Help us, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for those twin tracks of life. That you're going to help us sculpture both the hard and the great. We'll be like the Apostle Paul. We say, I've learned to be content in every and every circumstance, whether in much or plenty. I've learned the skill and the craft of navigating life, still feeling full, contented, overflowing. Because it doesn't matter about my circumstances. I've found a higher plane, that mystical, beautiful place with a friend and a lover that has me and holds me. And God, we do pray for our government. We do pray for our nation. We do proclaim today that the government is upon your shoulders. We pray for all the chaos and all the infighting and confusion. God, I don't really know how to pray for all the specifics, but I just pray, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as you've written in heaven for this time, for the British Isles. We pray, God, do something extraordinary to help us in a time of great shaking, great confusion. And we put the stop lines in the spirit and we say, not on our watch will you play with our nation, break our nation. We break that curse. Britain is broken. We say, no, we won't be broken, destroyed. For the thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. But you come to give life and life abundantly. You come to give hope and peace, a future, and not to harm us. And we trust you, God, that you've got a future for every life in this precious nation. And it's to give us a hope. And we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. And my fourth thought, twin tracks. Open, shut, Brexit. The fourth one is seed for the nation. I just felt when you gave your offering, you're sowing seed into a nation. God is putting seed into the nation. I want every single one of you to go be seed in the nation. As I have prayed about particularly this year, 2019, I said, God, why is this year a bit different prophetically? Normally all the prophets have, this year is called this, and it often rhymes with the number and it all sounds amazing. But it's, how have you noticed, it's quite quiet. It's not so, this is, and I believe we've picked it up. It's reset, stop, waiting, reflecting. Going to heaven, Revelation 4, verse 1. And after all of this mess, if you think of Revelation 1, 2, 3, after all of this, I heard a voice like a trumpet. And you know, sometimes we need, and I won't do it, a slap on the face. It's like you need... I did lifeguard, life saving. And when someone's really panicking and screaming and out of control and fearful and terrified, you need a bang to bring you back. And I feel that God is shouting in heaven, voice like a trumpet. It's not the still small voice. He's like, seriously, stop it. Reset. Listen to me. Eyes focused. Come in. And after all of this, he said, come up here. And I will show you what is to come. We must disconnect. You see, it's what David's saying. Get a different worldview. Go into that heavenly place. See our daddy in that Psalm 23. Imagine it. Walk him. Let him walk you by those still small streams. Sit at that table in the midst of your enemies. Sup with him. Eat with him. Disconnect to reconnect to the greater reality of heavenly things. And he's going to show you what is to come. Next slide. I woke up with this phrase. It's the only thing I really had for the conference as a phrase, and it was that it starts with a seed. It starts with a seed. Legacy. How do you create a legacy? It starts with a seed. Even in the natural, it starts with a seed. That little sperm and ovum that produces a child, that produces a child, creates family legacies. Actually, it starts with a seed. The seed of the nation. So I Googled it, thank God, and I remembered William Penn had said this. And William Penn went to Christ Church, Oxford. And he wrote this when the Spirit of God came upon him in Christ Church, Oxford. For those of you in Oxford, I can see you all. And God began to grip him at a time when the nations were shaking, those 1700s, all the Reformation, everything going on. And he wrote this. Read it with me. There may be room there for such a holy experiment. For the nations want a precedent, and my God will make it the seed of a nation, that an example may be set up to the nations, that we may do the thing that is truly wise and just. And right here in Oxford, a young man was gripped by the thought of what seed in a nation could do. And set up a holy experiment. Come on, what about we set up a holy experiment in the 21st century of counterculture, incredibly wise, wisdom-packed, justice-filled, divinely downloaded alternative culture that makes everyone jealous? Seed for the nation. And so, as I walked in, Helen very prophetically jogged my arm and scattered the seed. But I was going to scatter seed. Many different types of seed. He wants to scatter you. Seed never looks very impressive. I do love flowers and gardens, but I hate the whole process. But will you be seed for the nation? James 1, verse 1. Can you read it with me? Greetings, my name is Jacob James, and I'm a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all the 12 tribes of Israel who have been sown as seeds among the nations. Many translators just say scattered. But again and again, this seed for the nations. And Peter, also chapter 1, verse 1. Introduces himself. And from Peter, the apostle of Jesus, the anointed one, you can read it with me, to the chosen ones who have been scattered abroad like seed into the nations, living as refugees to those living in, you can read that. Bithynia. You see, God's picking us up and he is scattering seed. And seed can cause a revival. So I want to just finish with one question. And I have no idea what the time is. But wow, 3 minutes to four. You even finish on time. Last one. This is my question. What is the DNA your seed is going to carry? What is the DNA? Because every seed, every sperm, every ovum, every seed, even if it's of the same species, it's still unique. My background is I'm a clinical biochemist, and I worked at cellular levels, and I was always fascinated at that seed cell. You carry something. And God wants to release a prophetic roar. He wants the prophets to rise. And as we've shown today, how many of you have heard the prophetic sound of God, but it's been very different? But yet, if I invited you, it would be different again. And it's not wrong. But there's an orchestra, I believe, of the prophets. Who defines nations? Who speaks to stars? Who comes? God does, and then he says, now prophets, agree on earth as it is in heaven, speak to. And I believe God is going to wake us up and enable us to speak to set boundaries, to speak to situations. It's really interesting. As I said to you, I was invited into the House of Lords for this meeting. They've just scheduled my next meeting. The previous one was from 6:30 to 8:30. My next one is scheduled again, January the 29th, 6:30 to 8:30, right back in the house next door to the room. And they vote at 7. So last time we couldn't move till 9 because we had to wait for all the corridors to be cleared. But I just think, as I set timings and buttons, I just thought, God's got this. God's got this. These keep being planned, and then I just got the text, oh, we seem to be in the right place. I thought, in the right time. God's got this. But will you let your seed come in the ground? I don't know if you've got a final song. Why don't you stand? I want you to put your hand on wherever you see your seed, on your stomach, on your spirit, on your mouth. But I want you to hear it. Chrissy, I'm going to prophesy over you. It's funny, I've seen that all day. You know, God's got this for you. I just feel that there's been such a cry in your heart saying, God, I want more. And God's got this for the children. God's got this for the nations. God's got this for the... And God says you're carrying such a DNA and you're wondering how in the world will it get there. And you have been doing everything practically, naturally for children. And you've just been thinking, God, how can we influence, affect, overflow? And God just says, Chrissy, I've heard your cries. I've seen it. And even the heavens, even what David, come David, pray for, even what David was talking about, opening up the mystical understanding and language, you've understood some of that. And God just says, I am going to open up heaven's language. I'm going to help you understand, to break it down into childlike language. And you are going to affect... Oh, I just see you infiltrating. You've done much in the nations abroad, but I see the north of England opening to you. I see Bolton, Bradford, Blackpool, difficult to in the town areas. And you are going to go in there and raise kids with a whole new DNA and ethos. And God is going to put his hand on you. And God says, every containment breaks off you. Every limitation breaks off you. Every financial resource you need comes to you. And we just claim today, this is a recalibrate, reset day for you, Chrissy, because you are precious in the hands of your God. You keep praying for her. She's an amazing woman. Oh, we love you, and we value who you are. We say, let it be. Let it come through all that you are. We stand with you. Now for the rest of us, will you, if you feel comfortable, just pray this. Father, I ask you to take the seed of my life, plant it, scatter it, multiply it, increase it, and help me. Help me do what you've called me to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I just saw DNA can be programmed with light. And some of you got DNA that you're going, actually, the seed I've got, I think, is a little bit flawed. And even you're having that conversation in your head with yourself right now. It's like, what's my DNA? And I think God right now just wants to just break that. Because there's light and there's revelation. And there is, I mean, what is DNA? It's information. But there's a light, a revelation from heaven that can even come and to change that which you are carrying and to bring it into the revelation and the fullness of God. So for some of you right now, I just want to speak. And I'm going to just speak the light of heaven. Angels of light. Let the light of the church of that which you are a seed bearing. It's going to be a light that is going to shine. It's going to be declared. It's going to be seen. It's going to be visible on the hill. And even that the light of the DNA that you're carrying, let it even now be the record of the DNA that you're carrying. Let it be reprogrammed by the light of heaven.
Now take that. Say, the seed that I carry is incorruptible seed. It's pure seed. It's divine seed. It's trustworthy seed. It's God's seed. And I will use it for his glory. Why don't we just finish with one song and just tell Jesus that you're ready for him.
God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, just what to do. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. You know just what to do.
God's got it. Amen. God's got it. Well, it remains to me to say a massive, great, big thank you for sharing this day with us. And for some of you who are more prophetic, love those pictures, and love something tangible, you're welcome to come to the table and take a seed or a handful with you. I just saw that at the end, that for some of you, that's a visual thing. Seed from Oxford to carry with you. For those of you who are asking, we are going to host other days. Our next one is the 15th of June, back here, same venue. And we will put the information on the website as soon as we have it available. So please check out the website or Facebook if that's what you follow us through from. And the following one after that will be the 21st of September, and that will be in Peterborough. So if you know people across the country who are near a Peterborough side, please do tell them about it. We hope to do a journey with you, and we've loved being with you today, and we hope that this, what we thought was a personal experiment of, is this going to work, isn't it? Let's pray that it's a holy experiment, that it's a seed that will bear much fruit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Asking